Okay, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to take with me, and I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I've chosen the passage this morning for two reasons. One is because we often do the Christmas narrative, and we get up to the birth of Jesus, and the coming of the wise men, and the shepherds, and the whole Christmas story, but we never go beyond that. And so this morning, what I want to try to do is to carry one step further and just go beyond that as we kind of wrap up Luke chapter 2 a little bit, the early childhood of Jesus, and kind of see what happened after Jesus was born. And the second thing I want to do is I want to utilize it kind of and apply it in a basically in a New Year fashion, looking forward. Okay, to what God would have in store for us as a church, for us as a people, as His people. As you think of this passage and you think of Simeon and Anna, they every day were at the temple waiting for something to happen, waiting for Jesus to come, waiting for the arrival of the Messiah. And then the day came. And so you'll see, I'll give you more information concerning where this all came about. But if you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, I'm going to pick it up at verse 21. And I'll just read through verse 35, but we'll probably continue through I will go through verse 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was widowed until she was 84. Now, if you notice the little footnote, it says, or was widowed 84 years. Scholars don't quite know how to translate that, but it does indicate she was very old. I'll get to that in a minute, Shirley. How old is very old? That's just old, right? Let me continue. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were looking all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. Father, again this morning, it is my prayer that as we have celebrated this past week the birth of Jesus, and we've seen how God became flesh and dwelt among us, and you sent your only begotten Son to become our Savior. Father, now we look together at the consecration of your Son. We recognize this morning, Father, the word that you have given to us, and I pray that your Spirit, who has provided the word unto us, and who has provided for me the words to give, I pray, Father, that you would speak now to your people. We look forward, Father, having completed a year to a new year ahead. Father, we anticipate what you're going to do and look forward to that also. For now we do not know, but we know you do. We do know that, Father, you do have plans for us. You do have desires for us. You do have things which you wish for us to accomplish. And Father, we pray that our hearts and our minds would be set in accord to that which you would have us to do. And I pray that your blessings would be now upon this time and upon this your speaker as we bring forth the truth of what you, O Lord, would want us to do for your glory, for your honor in the year ahead. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. All right, I want to time us a little bit here in the sense of give us a little bit of a sense of where we're at. Let me ask you this question. How many of you remember Y2K? Right? What was going to happen? Y2K, the world was going to crash. It was all going to come down. Computers were going to fail. The electric grid was going to go blank. And everything was going to be the very end of ends. All right? Now, we'll ask you this. Did anybody buy a generator that day, that weekend? You know, any of that kind of, did you stock up a few foods or go to the grocery store or anything like that to be ready for, you know, Y2K, the end that was coming? I see by the smiles and probably by the looks on people, shakes their heads, no. But at the same time, and now how many of you recognize that was 20 years ago? How many of you say, wow, 20 years? I'm like, man, it doesn't seem like it was 20 years ago. But at the same time, we see how quickly time has gone by. And so as we are on the cusp of now a new year, two decades beginning the second decade of the new millennium, we begin to look back and wonder what God has done and see how God has worked and see what has happened as we anticipate this. Let me ask you this. How many of you were born in the new millennium? Kids, you can raise your hands on that, right? How many of you are less than 20 years old? You were born in the new millennium. And we look back with anticipation, recognizing what God has done. But what I want to do this morning is as well, look forward to what God wants to do. And again, verse 38 says, about the child, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, recognizing that our goal is to constantly be looking forward to the return of Jesus. Amen? He is coming back. He's coming back soon. We believe that it could be any day. We believe it could be any time, any moment, any day, whatever word you want to use there. But we believe Jesus Christ is returning. And so as we look ahead to the new year, I want to give us some keys to remember as we look to 2020 that I've drawn out of this passage. I believe God's given them to me. And again, it's not five things that I came up with. It's five, six things that I believe have come out of the passage. And I'll show you the way that it came out of there. The first thing I think we need to remember as we look into 2020 is we need to trust God's timing. We need to trust God's timing. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him. Verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to present him to the Lord. And then even Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We see as we begin the whole narrative of the birth of Jesus that everything was occurring exactly according to God's plan and in God's timing. Galatians 4 tells us that at just the right time, God sent his son, born of a virgin. And so we see the timing of God is amazing here as we see God working his timing out in the very course of history. But sometimes we can ask ourselves, well, yeah, I understand God was working then and working his timing out then, but is God still doing that today? Let me give you these three things in trusting God's timing, and then I'm going to come back and make an application. We trust God's timing, first of all, through prayer. Folks, we need to constantly be in prayer that God would do his work in his time. How many of you have prayed for something and it just didn't seem like it happened? And you constantly keep praying and you keep trusting and you keep asking and you keep praying, you keep trusting and you are waiting for the timing of God to be made complete. Simeon and Anna were waiting. And Anna even, it says, fasting and praying for the time to occur. And so we trust God's timing through prayer. Secondly, we trust God's timing through waiting. We live in an instantaneous society. We want it now. Our microwave can cook our food in 2 to 3 minutes. Our convection oven, our Instapot. Anybody get an Instapot or an air fryer? All right. Our Instapot and our air fryers, they make it, oh, so much quicker and so much faster and done so much better that we ourselves are difficult in waiting. Waiting and trusting God's timing as we wait for him. And I know that if I ask, there are those of us here who would say, I've had to learn how to trust God. Now, I'll give you one of mine in just a moment. I want to work through these first, and then I'll give it to you. We trust God's timing through working. What do I mean by that? I'm going to get to this later on. But that means we don't just pray and wait for God. That means we also pray and we go about doing what God wants us to do. We see Joseph and Mary on the 8th day took him to be circumcised. And then after Mary's purification, which was another 33 days, so on the 40th day, the Old Testament law says that after 40, if it was a male, it was 40 days. If it was a woman, if it was a birth that was given birth to a girl, then it was 60 days later. And so as we look here at God's giving, and as we look here at the giving of Jesus for his consecration, we see that Mary and Joseph still had to do the work that needed to be done. Now, folks, there are several things that I can talk about this one, right? I've already did it, right? How long ago did we start the gym? I can't even tell you how long ago we started it, but it was a long time ago, all right? Several years ago that we began with a dream of completing the gym. I do believe with all my heart that this year it's going to be completed. We've got an electrician currently providing the electrical for the kitchen. Once that is completed, we can get in and hang some board, get the plumbers in. It really shouldn't take, but maybe I'm going to go out on a limb and say 6 weeks. Okay? Prayerfully, by the time we do our annual meeting, it'll be looking better. But I'm looking forward to the fact that it could be the middle of February or the end of February and we could have things, the kitchen completed. Okay? It's all in God's timing, right? But we got to do the work. You had to balance those, okay? Now, Ryan left, okay? I don't know, he'd take Mike out, did he? He just took off. But let me ask you this question. How many years had we been praying for an associate pastor? Right? I would venture close to 10 years. And if you remember right, it was 2 years ago that Brennan came and we thought, yes, God's provided us our associate pastor. And Brennan was here for, let's see, what was it? I think it was July, August, September, and boom, he was gone. And I was like, God, what are you doing? Now, Amanda, you better not stand up and say we're planning on moving or that something else has happened, okay? All right. But then all of a sudden, and again, you can talk to the elders, they will all tell you, Don got pretty frustrated. Don got pretty upset. Now, not upset in the sense that I was ranting and raving and screaming, but upset in the sense that why isn't God answering this? Why aren't we getting this? And then again, it probably took us, I bet you, probably 6 weeks or less from the time we contacted Ryan until the time that we're like, yes, and then Ryan came and became our youth pastor in March, which is the same weird that in 3 months you're going to be a year. All right. And so we're excited about the fact that Ryan is coming here. And so let me ask you, what have you learned, Don, this past year? Trust God's timing. That God does His work in His time. Now He comes in. So, well, it's a good thing, right? All the things I said about you, you're just going to have a man to tell you. So. Well, I am still sharing your office for a while, so I still have to be good to you. So, anyways, we trust God's timing as we look to 2020, that in God's timing, we will complete the gym facility and get things done that we need to get done. But I have to share with you, to me, when the gym gets done, the work starts even harder. Think about that, okay? When the gym gets done, the work starts. Because we seek to utilize the gym in a way that God can use it to bring more people to Him. And we can use the gym in a way that would bring glory to Him as we reach people with Him. So, second thing, all right, I know I got a lot of them to get through and I don't want to spend a lot of time on all of them. Secondly, second key to remember as we look to 2020, obey God's word. You notice it was on the eighth day that they brought the baby because that was in the scripture when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed. Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And so we see Mary and Joseph are simply following obedience to the Word of God. Now, there's a sense in which I believe that we say we need to obey God's Word. Everybody says, well, yeah, duh, Don. Excuse me. But I'm excited about continuing to seek God and in His Word and to continue as we obey God's Word to see how God works. And so I put down here three things. If we're going to obey God's Word, number one, we must read it. Number two, we must study it. Number three, we must do it. For there's a sense in which we can all say, well, yeah, Don, we all want to obey God's word. We all want to do what the Bible says. For we do trust it to be truly the word of God. So this morning, or actually this past week, I spent a lot of time putting together. Now, let me ask you this question. I didn't bring my phone up here, but all right. How many of you have the Read Through the Bible Daily app? Anybody got it? All right, a couple of people. So how many of you use your phone for your Bible reading? Gosh, even some of the, shall I say, early generation people here. Late generation people, whatever, okay? All right. Now, if you have a Bible app, that's great. All right? Excuse me, I don't know, my throat, that frog isn't getting out of there. If you don't, I took the time this past week, and there's 15 copies of each of these, so if you want to pick it out. How many of you are the straight-laced people? You want to start from Genesis, and you want to read through Revelation. From beginning to end. Chapter by chapter, one after the other. If you want to do that, you get the bland sheet. All right? All right? If you want to take it home. If you have a Bible app, use it, all right? I've made these so that this will fold into halves. Fit in your Bible. And you can do the Bible reading. It just fit into your Bible. It's just one sheet. And this will take you through the reading. Oh, thank you, Lucas. I thought you were coming up to give Grandma something. Okay, so this is your Bible reading plan. Pick it up on your way out. Do your pastor's heart good and take it home and put it in your Bible, okay? But what did we just say? Read it, study it, do it, okay? So if you would like to do this, this is a Genesis to Revelation Bible study. If you would like to read the Old Testament and New Testament on the same day, I think my wife said she does that, and she's found that to be a blessing. Then you want to pick up the cream sheet. This is an everyday reading where you read two or three verses from the Old Testament or chapters from the Old Testament and maybe one from the New Testament. If you want to get up in the morning, read the Old Testament when you get up, read the New Testament when you go to bed, however you want to do it, but this is the Old Testament and New Testament every day. If you want to just take the challenge, all I'm going to do is read the Old Testament through this year. Then take this one and you can read through just the Old Testament in a year. If you want to just read through the New Testament, take this one and you can read through the New Testament in a year. Although you'll be done like in September because the New Testament doesn't have as much. And so you'll be done. So this is the one you want to take, the cream colored one, if you want to do the both. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. I do it every time I do it, but I've done these in the past because I've done these in the past. How many of you are a little bit ADHD? I mean, you just have trouble staying attention and paying attention and keeping with it. In other words, you start Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you're already saying, when are we ever going to get through this? If that's one of the problems you have, pick up the green one and go for it. All right? Here's what I did. This is the way I think. So if you don't like the way I think, that's okay. I'm good with it. The green one, you will read Genesis and Exodus and then Matthew. And then you'll read Leviticus, the law, and then Galatians. It's not by the law. Then you'll read Numbers and go to Hebrews. Okay? And so what I've done is I've tried to take the Old Testament, New Testament, and kind of interspersed it all together so that as you read, you'll read Old Testament for a while, then you'll read New Testament. Now you got to realize, those of you who are in Awana, how many books in the Old Testament? How many books altogether? What is it, Mary? We got it over there. 66 books altogether. Old Testament, there's 39, New Testament, there's 27. So if you kind of intersperse them, you know you got to read more old than new. But at the same time, it takes you all the way through it. And you end the year in Revelation. Okay? So if you want to kind of like, oh, I would rather be all mixed up. Okay? Well, you can say it, Don, you're all mixed up. All right? Then you want the read-through varied. I didn't put mixed up. I did have mixed up for a while there, and I thought, no, this is varied. It's various, all right? You go from old to new. So read through that. All three of those are all out there. There's 15 copies of each. If you run out, I can always run another copy off for you and make it available if, for some reason, everybody wants one certain verse. So what's my point? My point is this new year, what do we want to do? We want to trust God's timing. We want to get into God's word so that we can obey him and what he does to us. We believe that we speak to God in prayer and God speaks to us. How? Through his word and by his spirit. And so we want to look at that. So obey God's word. Get into it, read it, study it, do it. Now, I was very tempted, and I will do this. If you're going to pick this up and want to be a part of the challenge, I want you to send me a text. I'm going to put together a pastor's study group via text. All right? Where weekly we will contact one another and we'll say, how's it going? What questions do you have? All right? I'm thinking text. This is off the cuff. It might be email. I'll be honest with you. Probably do email, all right? Because texting is kind of like an immediate response thing. But if we do email, once a week, we'll send out an email and we'll correspond email-wise to this. Okay? So if you like this and you want to be a part of the pastor's study group, then via electronics email, we'll keep track and challenge one another to make it through the new year. Okay, now I have to tell you the fact that my wife has done through it probably 20 years. She's been doing it and does it faithfully every year. I will tell you, I'm not that faithful. I'm not as faithful as she is. I'll put it that way, okay? I find it much more difficult, and I'm much so the type of the one who's ready to say through Deuteronomy, okay, let's just go to Matthew. So, okay. Anyways, that's my challenge and your challenge, okay? If you would like to do that with me, to read through the year, send me an email, and we will work together on getting through the Old Testament, New Testament, read through the Bible, and as well, when we get the thing going, I'll begin sending up maybe questions to ask as you do the reading, and we'll be able to discuss some of the issues. Like, Don, what's happening in Genesis 6? You know, the sons of men and the women marrying the... Okay? We'll be able to do some of those questions. So, that's okay. Read it, study it, do it. I'll help you to do those three things. Number three, are we ready? Expect God's working. Expect God's working. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now listen to this. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, for it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Did anybody pick that up? Three times, what's it say? By the Holy Spirit. And there is a sense in which if we want to see the work of God being done, if we are going to begin to expect God to work in our midst, then we need to be recognizing and open and realizing that it is the Holy Spirit of God who must direct us. And we must expect to see God's Spirit at work amongst us. Now, usually anytime you begin talking these terms within an evangelical church, like, whoa, we don't want any of that Spirit charismatic, we don't want any of that. But folks, it's undoubted that the Spirit of God was working in Simeon's life so that the Spirit of God directed him to be at the temple when Jesus came there. And we do not need to fear the Spirit of God. The Scriptures tell us to seek the Spirit and to desire the Spirit. So we must be a church which is constantly opening ourselves up to the Spirit's direction and the Spirit's leading in our life and in our church. You can amen. We want to be a Spirit-directed church. We want the Spirit of God to be that which moves and works in us. And so I gave three questions here. If we expect God to be working in our midst, the first question I put is, how do you see God's Spirit at work? Now, that's a two-edged question. In other words, how do you actually, do you see God's Spirit at working in your life? Do you see God's Spirit at work? In what ways do you acknowledge and see the Spirit of God working? And the other question is, what are the ways in which we acknowledge that the Spirit of God is working? We must be a Spirit-directed church that sees the Spirit of God at work in our midst. And so, folks, we must come humbly before God's Spirit and bow ourselves before Him. You must be willing to say, Lord Jesus, I want your Spirit to have his way with my life and with my heart. I open myself to your Spirit's direction and to your leading. Secondly, what do you expect to see God do? As we expect God's working this year, what are ways in which you expect to see God do something in your midst? What are you anticipating that God's going to do in your life as you look into 2020? Many of you can look back onto 2019 and think, man, I didn't think God was going to do that. But you saw God work. You saw His Spirit leading. You followed it, obeyed it, and His Spirit directed you. And the last one I put down, how will you join with God in working for God? We expect God's working in our midst, but it's not just God. We want you to do the work, but rather we get to join with God in doing God's work. As we see God do His work amongst us. It was Henry Blackaby several years ago who wrote the word, who wrote the book Knowing God, or Knowing and Seeking the Will of God. And he wrote in there, find out where God is at work and join God in doing His work. So we want to see how God will do His work in our midst and then join with God in doing it. Now, gentlemen, I just will give you a good fair warning, the fact that right now we've got a drywall guy who is here and he is taping and mudding the furnace rooms upstairs, and he is taping and mudding the balcony railings, and so he probably will be here for the next couple of weeks finishing that up. But once that is all finished, we get to join in God's work. You know what God's work is going to be doing? Yeah, we got to paint. That's not just guys, it's ladies as well. We got to paint. And guys and ladies, you know what we do after we get done painting? We've got flooring to install in the balconies. Underlayment and tile. The square tiles, you know, vinyl tile. And you know what we have to do after that? We've got wainscoting to put around the wall that was completed several years ago, but we never put the wainscoting up because we were waiting to do the flooring, we were waiting to do the drywall. So what's my point? My point is the fact that when we look forward to completing the building, we also look forward to joining together in the work that needs to be done to complete the building. So as we get moving ahead, come the end of January into February, we will be looking for men's work days to join together to get done the work that needs to get done. And so we expect God to do His work, but we join God in doing it. Fourthly, we marvel at God's miracles. Simeon took Him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as You have promised, You now dismiss Your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen Your salvation, which You have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to Your people Israel. And so as Simeon picked up this child and blessed him and praised God for him, the word says, verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. You see, the amazing thing is that when God is at work, then we are able to marvel at what God is doing and what God has accomplished. The things you've seen God do that you never thought God would accomplish. And we begin praising God, marveling at the miracles that God has done in our midst. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Now we recognize that this marveling isn't just good. Because if you read on, we read Simeon's prophecy about Jesus that this great one is going to be one who's going to expose the hearts of many. And that also, Mary, your heart will be pierced also. So you see, in the very promise of the marvel of God is as well the great things that Jesus is going to do, but the hardships that are going to come as a result. And so as we look at God's miracles and the work that God is doing, we recognize that on the one hand, we see great things. Oh, Sovereign Lord, You've promised. My eyes have seen Your salvation. The light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for Your people. But on the other hand, we also see what I would say may be the curse, but I don't, that curse is too strong of a word. We may see the difficulty, the heartache. The sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary. Someday this one who was given for the world is going to give himself for the world. It's going to pierce your heart also, Mary. So we see that as we marvel at God's miracles, it's not just the good things that God does in our lives, but oftentimes it's God's faithfulness in the difficulty, in the hardship, in the heartache, that we see God's deliverance. And that we see God's working in our midst. And we're able to marvel at that which God has done for us. Number 5, receive God's blessings. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of a tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84 years. And so he recognized she was married 7 years and then either widowed for 84 years or was widowed until she was 84. But if we started the 7 years since she was married and she was married, we'll even say at a young age, 16, 7 years, puts her at 23, 84 years, puts her at 107. Now, is that very old? Surely, is that very old? That's not even a start yet, huh? So we look again at what God's done. And we see here that Anna then blesses them. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption. And so we see here the blessing given unto Mary and Joseph as they begin their life together, raising the Son of God. This one to whom was given the name Jesus. And so we see here the need of Mary and Joseph to receive God's blessing. Now I thought about this, I'm going to do just briefly. I believe if I ask you, how many of you want to receive God's blessing? Most of us would say, yes, I want God's blessing. All of us want God to bless. But I kind of thought of two things. Number one, and I thought about the fact of having a time in which you just close your eyes, lay your hands on your lap with a closed fist, and ask yourself, God, what are the things that I am holding on to that keep me from receiving your blessing? For I truly believe God cannot bless a closed fist. That which we are holding on to, that which we are desiring, that which we are trying to grasp. But rather, we need to release. And I believe we give that to God that He might turn it into our blessing. As we release it up unto Him, then we receive what God wants to give to you. So I'm going to give you just 30 seconds. Close your eyes, close your fist, ask yourself, the Spirit of God, reveal unto me that which I'm holding on to that I need to release to you so you can bless. And now I pray that you would open your hands and release it unto God. And ask God to provide His blessings for that which you have given unto Him. That He may pour out His abundant blessings, pressed down and spilling over, as the Scriptures talk about. That we would receive His blessing. And lastly, we worship God's worthiness. We worship God's worthiness. Anna was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was not of the tribe of Levi, nor was she a descendant of Joseph, of Moses. She was not a Levite, nor was she a priest. She was a one who was of the tribe of Asher, and she lived with her husband for 7 years. But now we find the fact that verse 37, she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Folks, we come to God this morning with worship at His worthiness. Many of you have seen God's worthiness this past year in various different ways. Some of you are still looking for God's worthiness. But folks, we come and worship God not based upon what He does for us, but based upon who He is and the fact that He is worthy. And so what I want you to do right now, again, close your eyes and give God the glory. Worship Him for His worthiness at what He has done this past year. Think of the ways He has blessed you. Think of the ways that He has been there for you. Think of the ways that He took you through it rather than from it. And praise God for His worthiness, His faithfulness. His loving kindness. His mercy. His grace. His goodness. And now as you worship God for His worthiness, commit 2020 unto Him. For He's worthy. He's worthy because in His time, He will do His work for His glory, His praise, His honor. Father, we thank You for Your grace. It's sufficient to meet all of our needs. Thank You that You are worthy of our praise. Father, we come to You this crest of the new year and commit it unto You. That, Father, You may do great things in our lives and through our lives as we commit ourselves unto You. May Your Spirit have way with our hearts to do Your work in Your own way. Father, thank You for Your blessings this morning. And I pray this all, that Jesus was glorified as we look forward to the new year in Your name. Amen.